WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Folks, I'm excited because we have a hot, 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 hot show for you all today. Later on in the hour, we'll be highlighting a pretty cool event for an even cooler cause. It's entitled the Unified Rivalry Series, in which about nine games throughout the entire nation, they team up with two universities who are rivalry schools and put on a flag football game that encompasses members of that, though I should say those universities' Special Olympics corps. So I actually had a chance to go out to Munfield right here on Michigan State University's campus and witness Special Olympics Michigan State take on Special Olympics University of Michigan. Very cool event. You do not want to miss that snippet. We will also be talking about Jalen Watts Jackson. That's right. The hero of East Lansing, the hero of Michigan State, made his first comment since the craziness that was Saturday night at the Big House. Hear what he has to say in just a sec. Also, the New York Mets are headed to the World Series. How cool is that? And we'll also have Throwback Thursday, talk about Brady Hoke saying, no way, I would punt against the Spartans. Yeah, I can't believe he said that, folks. All of that and so much more. But, hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, October 22nd. All right, folks, Jalen Watts Jackson, the redshirt freshie. He spoke from a wheelchair Wednesday for the first time in public since he returned a botched punt 38 yards on the final play of a 27-23 win over rival Michigan. Watts Jackson, who broke his hip while being tackled in the end zone, said he has tried to return the flood of text messages he has received since Saturday, but he hasn't been able to turn on his phone without it freezing because of the influx of new social media followers. I know that problem very well, Jalen. Get to hear exactly what Jalen had to say at Spartan Stadium yesterday in just a sec. You do not want to miss it. Trust me, folks. All right, a fourth straight victory, a fourth straight dub for the Michigan State women's volleyball team. It was particularly sweet as the Spartans upset number 6 Ohio State 3-0. At Jennison Fieldhouse on Wednesday night, MSU now owns a 14-6 overall record and is 6-3 in the Big Ten. The Buckeyes are 18-3, 7-2 in conference play. The Spartans snapped a 7-match winning streak for the Buckeyes, who entered the game in a 3-way tie for first place in the Big Ten. The win over the 6th-ranked Buckeyes was the highest-ranked team defeated by MSU since an upset of number 1 Penn State, if you remember, in the opening game of the 2013 Big Ten schedule. Big win for Kathy George and company. All right, a pair of first-half penalty kicks were too much to overcome as the Michigan State men's soccer team fell to number 5 Akron 4-1. With the loss, the Spartans fall to 7-5-2 overall, while Akron improves to 11-2-1. The Spartans are now 0-3-1 against ranked teams this year, and the Zips were the 4th top 10 team that MSU has faced this year. The loss snapped Michigan State's 3-match unbeaten streak. Suspended Michigan State junior safety Mark Myers faces fines and cost, and no probation or jail time as long as he stays out of further trouble after pleading guilty last month to impaired driving. Myers had his sentencing delayed Wednesday in East Lansing 54B District Court, according to the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office. Now, Myers will be subject to fines and cost only on January 22nd, as long as he has no further incidents between now and then. The Austin American Statesman reported that Texas's new deal with Nike will exceed the one U of M just signed. According to multiple reports, the Texas deal is worth $200 million over 15 years. The Texas deal has yet to be signed because it hasn't been approved by the school's board just yet. U of M's 15-year deal is believed to be worth nearly $170 million. $76.8 million in cash and $80.2 million in apparel for all 31 of the university sports. That is a lot of money. All right, the Detroit Pistons in the NBA preseason action last night to the Charlotte Hornets. They fell 99-94. The Charlotte Hornets, who are right now 7-0, got 18 points from Nicholas Batum, and Al Jefferson added 15 points. Jeremy Lin, and have you seen Jeremy Lin's new hairdo? It's off the chain. If you have not, you need to hit Google right now. He added 18 points in place of injured starting point guard Kemba Walker, who has a sore left heel. Starting center Andre Drummond had 21 points, 15 rebounds, 2 block shots for the Pistons, who are now 2-5. Top point guard Reggie Jackson added 10 points and 11 assists, but was 3-for-15 from the field. Connor McDavid hit another milestone in his young NHL career Wednesday. McDavid scored his first goal at home in the Edmonton Oilers' 3-1 win against the Detroit Red Wings at Rextall Place, after losing its first 4 games. Edmonton has won 3 in a row. They are now 3-4-0. Toronto Blue Jays, they won 7-1 at Rogers Centre, Toronto, yesterday in the 6th inning. Troy Tulowitzki in a 3-run RBI with a double to center field, making it 5-0. The Royals still lead the series 3-2. And the New York Mets are headed to the World Series. How cool is that? They topped the Chicago Cubs 8-3 last night for the sweep. Daniel Murphy homered in his 6th straight MLB postseason game. The first player to do that in the sports history. Check him out.
And strike 3 called. They haven't been to the World Series since 2000, and the Mets are on their way back.
Daniel Murphy, you are too good, my friend. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. It's about that time to start the show.
Checking to see the time, because I know like when we went out there we didn't have that much time left. So after the whole play went down, I got the ball. I looked up, I saw 6 seconds. I knew at that point like we didn't have time to get out of bounds, kick a field goal, or get tackled or anything. So I was gonna try to score. My teammates, they all have been making jokes and stuff, saying, "Bro, you about to get a statue made of you. You gonna get your name put up in the stadium." So really, we've just been making fun of the situation, but like, I just feel it's crazy that 10 seconds could like take you from, you know, just being on the team or people acknowledging that you guys won the game to people tweeting you and text messaging you, Facebook saying like you're a legend, you're a hero, like alumni. Like I saw on ESPN Le'Veon's reaction, and I was laughing. It's crazy. I want to thank everybody at the University of Michigan Hospital for making me feel at home. I honestly couldn't even like tell that I was at a U of M hospital. Everyone was so nice. Everyone was, congratulating me and just making sure I was okay. And that takes a lot, because I know how big of a rivalry it is, like especially after seeing the way people react in the stands. And I want to thank the doctors that helped me out, Dr. Goulet and Dr. Hake, I believe his name was, and the nurse that I had these long conversations with, Christina, I remember her name still. And I just want to, you know, honestly thank them, because they made a situation that was, you know, not just crazy, but like a painful situation go by fast and, you know, make it a lot easier than it could have been. After, I say, it first really hit me, besides when I got my phone, because I didn't have my phone all weekend. So besides when I got my phone, it first really hit me when I, after I got surgery, you know, my family came, and then I was just in my room, like the hospital room by myself, looking at ESPN, and they just kept playing it back and kept playing it back. I'm like, wow, like, that really happened. So it didn't really hit me at all until I was by myself in the hospital room, just watching TV.
Beautiful or what? I know many of you out there listening are probably grabbing your tissue boxes right now. Man, I never thought I'd see the day where we would play Mariah Carey here on Current Sports, but yeah, we just did that. Welcome to the show. You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and what you just heard was the hero of Michigan State. That's right, Jalen Watts Jackson, the redshirt freshman who made the play that will be talked about for 500 plus years here in the area. Unbelievable stuff. Of course, you saw it. If you haven't seen it, you've been living under a rock the past, four, five, 6 days now? I mean, unbelievable stuff. Jalen Watts Jackson, of course, returning the muffed punt by Blake O'Neal from Michigan and taking it to the house to propel the Spartans to victory. Jalen made his first comments yesterday at 1:15 p.m. Of course, we were rocking the mic here on Current Sports around that time. But around that time, Jalen made his way to the podium at Spartan Stadium. He actually was in a wheelchair. He had to be pushed by, of course, MSU's very own John Lewandowski, pushed up the ramp and sat near the mic. His mother was also there at the press conference, and I saw from a few media outlets out there that she was also interviewed about the hoopla that has surrounded her son, and she sounded very proud, as well as she should be, and talked about how Jalen has been trying to soak all of this in. I can only imagine how this kid's life has been since Saturday night. Because, again, you know, he heard his thoughts there. He had interesting takes on when he was sitting in the hospital bed, and he really didn't realize the magnitude of the moment until everyone left. You know, all his visitors, all his family and friends, they stopped visiting to check on him and make sure he was all right. And he was in the hospital bed alone by himself, laying down in that room. And in front of him, as he laid in that bed, was ESPN, and he was looking at all the highlights of the day, and he talked about how ESPN played that moment, the moment that changed his life. They played it over and over and over and over. I can only imagine how many times he's seen the play. I've seen it at least. It's got to be like 20 plus times I've seen that play now, and how he sat back and said, wow. I mean, he had no words. No words. And is his cell phone, anytime your cell phone freezes up due to text messages, the influx of text messages and messages that you're receiving on social media, you know it's a big, big deal. And Jalen Watts Jackson, this is a name that we had previously never even brought up on here on Current Sports. Never brought up Jalen's name until that moment on Saturday. And it was so chaotic because, again, I didn't even get to see the jersey number When the moment happened, we were on the field shooting. I didn't even pay attention to the jersey number of the Spartan who ran that muff punt back. I didn't get the name until, of course, we got into the post-game presser where Coach D'Antonio talked. Absolutely insane stuff. And he also talked about how, and he kind of went, you know, gave us a play-by-play of his thoughts on what occurred. And he talked about how when he went to the end zone, he immediately knew that something was wrong, and he just felt pain, tremendous pain. And one of his teammates, who was right above him, he asked one of his teammates to keep everybody in back, you know, away from him. But of course, his teammates didn't know that he had just fractured and dislocated his hip. So they're trying to drag him up to celebrate. And we even got video of him smacking his teammates away, saying, "Get off me, get off me." Smacking him away frantically, saying, "Get off me, I'm hurt." And then it set in for the rest of his teammates. And then they go off, you know, celebrating, but not before congratulating Jalen. We even got one of the bites saying, "Hey, you just became a legend. You just became a legend." And I'm curious. I mean, because this play is huge, folks. I even looked last night, and NFL.com is making an argument that that play, what we saw on Saturday, is the number one, yes, number one play in college football history. That's how big that moment is. So I know that later on down the road, I don't know if it's going to be this year, but later on down the road, a plaque may be made of that moment. Maybe a statue will be made of that moment. It's that big, folks. It is that big. And speaking of statues, and sort of to compare this moment, which, you know, are two different levels of sports. But at the same time, you know, Isaac, I was watching, I believe it was last week, the New Orleans Saints game. I forget, who are they playing? Was it the Giants?
Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons. I was watching the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints last week on Thursday Night Football. And Thursday Night Football and the entire CBS crew, what they do every week is they put together a cool feature leading up to the game. And CBS, hats off to them, because it was a riveting feature done on the city of New Orleans, of course, talking about the moment in which, you know, the Hurricane Katrina came through the city and just it was so catastrophic. And right when, you know, things were trying to get back to normal and the city was trying to rebuild and the Saints came back in town, the Saints came marching in, so to speak. They actually, you know, I believe one of the first games was against the Atlanta Falcons.
The very first game back in the Dome. Yeah.
Right. Back in the Dome was the Atlanta Falcons. And I believe, was it Gleason?
Steve Gleason.
Steve Gleason, to win the game, it ended up, you know, being, you know, to win the game and propel the Saints over the Atlanta Falcons, he blocked a punt into the end zone for a touchdown. And that moment was a moment that brought the entire city together. And it was a moment of rebirth. And I believe that's what's etched now on a statue that commemorates that moment and is a symbol to how big that moment was for the entire city of New Orleans, let alone the franchise of the New Orleans Saints. And now it's so crazy because when they showed the piece, and then they had a montage of people walking to the statue, and then they pan to an individual who is in a wheelchair. And guess who it was? Gleason. I guess he's been diagnosed
ALS.
Diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, exactly. And he's been diagnosed with that, and he's in a wheelchair now. Looks like a shell of himself now. He can barely talk. He's lost a ton of weight, but he was present at that game. But I bring up that moment because there are certain moments in sports that you can never forget. It's a where were you when moment. And that's what occurred for Michigan State this past Saturday. And it's so immense that I think we may see, you know, that moment. I think it would be fair to commemorate that moment in some way, shape, or form. But Jalen Wise Jackson's life just has changed and done a complete 180. Unbelievable stuff, Isaac.
Yeah, well, I would like to point out a few differences actually between the two, because Steve Gleason's was not so significant in the scope of that game. It was more for the revival of the city, an announcement to the nation that New Orleans is back, better than ever. Maybe, well, not then, but New Orleans is back and we're fighting and we're right here in the national eye once again. But it wasn't that important for the game. It showed that New Orleans was back, but it was the first punt of the game right after the Falcons went 3 and out. And Steve Gleason blocked this punt from Michael Kanan, the Falcons punter, on Monday Night Football. Curtis DeLoach recovered in the end zone, and the Saints went up 7-0. They went on to win the game 24-0. So not really that close of a game. It was more important because of the scope of what it meant for the city of New Orleans. And, you know, it's perception in the national media. Whereas this MSU block from Jalen Watts Jackson was so much more crucial in terms of the game itself. Right, obviously. Right. The Spartans exactly. do not win this game if it's not for Jalen Watts Jackson. They lose. They're out of the national championship discussion altogether. So there were a few differences between the two, but I think you're right. They're similar in the impact that one play can have. Now, they had different impacts on different events and obviously different circumstances.
Oh, certainly,
but
certainly.
Those events are so impactful, so important. And I agree. I don't think it would be wrong whatsoever to remember this play with some sort of statue, plaque, something inside Spartan Stadium.
There will be something to commemorate that
There's
moment.
There's got to be.
It's the biggest moment. This is bigger than Clockgate. This is the biggest moment in the Michigan State and Michigan rivalry. Point blank, period.
Yep.
Hard to ignore that. So I do think something's going to happen down the road when it comes to that. Again, I don't know if it's going to happen. It probably won't happen this year, maybe next. Who knows? In the foreseeable future, there will be. And the reason I say it is because, yeah, there are moments that occur, you know, within the game for certain franchises that symbolize something. And this, for Michigan State, certainly symbolized a lot. Folks, our phone lines. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was going to say, this is the picturesque moment for Mark D'Antonio's career at Michigan State.
Right.
If you have to point to one play that summarizes his career here, this will be the one, and this will be a tough one to surpass, too, for that honor.
Certainly. You know, Michigan State has had so many crazy, just last-minute victories, too. I remember being on the field, you know, watching the whole Little Giants play against Notre Dame, and I remember, the Wisconsin game, the Hail Mary, that was unbelievable. I remember, we saw last year the BYU game. I mean, Michigan State has had its share of unbelievable victories, but I think this may top them all. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Our phone lines are open all the way up until 2 p.m. I got to talk about briefly here before we hit our first break. The New York Mets are headed to the World Series. And man, oh man, do I look like an idiot or what? I got to be honest with you guys. I mean, I chose the Chicago Cubs after they, booked their ticket to the playoffs. They were the hottest team in baseball, clicking on all cylinders. And then what happens? They run into the Mets. And I truly believe, I don't know, it's very eerie when looking at the history of the Chicago Cubs. I was watching SportsCenter. I caught most of the game last night, and I was watching SportsCenter's coverage leading up to the Mets and Cubs yesterday. And they had Lindsay Zarniak, and she threw to a piece in which they talked about the name Murphy and what the name Murphy has meant when it comes to the troubled history that the Cubs have run into when it comes to the postseason. Just eerie stuff. Again, the Chicago Cubs, they have not appeared in a World Series since 1945, when, legend has it, tavern owner Billy Sionis placed a curse on the team in retaliation for refusing stadium entry to his, of all things, of all animals, his goat. Yeah. I kid you not, folks. Just to read a little bit of this. Going into Wednesday night's potentially decisive Game 4 of the National League Championship Series, trailing the New York Mets 3-0, it seemed the Cubs' curse is as strong as ever. According to the Billy Goat Tavern's website, which is now owned by Sionis' nephew, Sam, the tale goes as follows. Crazy stuff here. Listen to this. The Cubs enter Game 4 of the World Series, leading the Detroit Tigers 2-1. And needing to win only 2 of the next 4 games played at Wrigley Field. A local Greek, William Billy Goat Sionis, owner of the Billy Goat Tavern and a Cubs fan, he bought 2 tickets to Game 4, hoping to bring his team good luck when he took his pet goat, Murphy, with him to the game. I kid you not. At the entrance to the park, the Andy Fran usher stopped Billy Goat from entering, saying that no animals were allowed in the park. No brainer, right? Billy Goat, frustrated, appealed to the owner of the Cubs, P.K. Wrigley. Wrigley replied, "Let Billy in, but not the goat." Billy Goat asked, "Why not the goat?" Wrigley answered, "Because the goat stinks." According to legend, the goat and Billy were upset. So then Billy threw up his arms and exclaimed, "The Cubs ain't gonna win no more. The Cubs will never win a World Series so long as the goat is not allowed in Wrigley Field." The Cubs were officially cursed. Subsequently, the Cubs lost Game 4 and the remaining series, getting swept at home and from the World Series. Billy Goat promptly sent a telegram to P.K. Wrigley stating, quote, "Who stinks now?" Is that not the greatest story ever? When I read that, I was in tears, folks. Now, 70 years later, the Cubs have yet to make it back to the World Series, and their fans have adopted the official slogan, "Wait till next year." And I tell you what, and they went through in the histories, in the rivalry's history, well, I should say when the franchise's history, Isaac, about the name Murphy and the constant names, the name of Murphy that has come up in the history of the Cubs that have just, of course, slapped the Cubbies in the face, for lack of better terms. The most recent person, Daniel Murphy. I don't know if can we play that homer once again? Do we have it? Well, we don't have it. We'll play it later on in the show. But Daniel Murphy, folks, has done something that no other player has done in MLB postseason history. And that smack, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six straight home runs. How good has Daniel Murphy been? And, you know, it's so mind-boggling when you look at Murphy's stats during the regular season to the postseason and how dramatically different they are. Let's look at batting average, for instance. During the regular season, he batted .281. Postseason, .421. One base percentage, .322. During the postseason, .436. Slugging percentage. During the regular season, .449. Get this. Postseason, .126. That's insane. Home runs, folks, during the regular season, Daniel Murphy hit a total of 14 homers. In the postseason alone, he has half of that. 7 homers, and again, 6 straight in the MLB postseason. That is unbelievable stuff. He is on a streak that many of us, you know, it's rare. It's rare to get that hot at the right moment in the MLB postseason. It is very, very rare. And what he's doing is simply mind-boggling. I watched the interview with Ernie Johnson as he talked with Daniel Murphy, who was named the NLCS MVP. Murphy said, "I don't know what's going on." He was beyond words. He couldn't even describe it. So the Cubs, we put them to bed after all the hoopla that we saw, after me getting on the airwaves, and you know when they of course clinched a chance to move on to the NLCS and play the New York Mets. They were the hottest team in baseball. There was no hotter team. But this New York Mets squad is very, very impressive. And it's interesting to look at. You know, you can go all the way back to when, you know, we saw that trade deadline in which they acquired Detroit, now former Detroit Tigers player, Yoenis Cespedes. And they started to go on a roll, folks. And you could kind of see just the stars aligned for this squad. They're unbelievable right now. Unbelievable stuff with Daniel Murphy leading the charge. I want to get your thoughts. Do you think the Mets can close out the World Series and win this whole thing? Again, we still have Toronto and KC playing. Of course, that series is interesting. But at the end of the day, I mean, hey, it's really hard to go against KC in that series because the Royals still lead the series right now 3-2, even though Toronto was able to stave off that embarrassing 14-2 game prior to that. At the same time, I think it's pretty inevitable that we are going to see the Mets play the Royals, and that is going to be a very, very entertaining World Series, which, of course, starts next week. And it's kind of bittersweet for me because I love watching the World Series, absolutely love it. But at the same time, some of my favorite shows like Empire, yeah, it gets pushed until after the World Series. But hey, Catch-22, World Series is coming right at us. Gotta love that. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, you will get to hear a pretty cool feature from the first ever United Rivalry Series from the Special Olympics. It came right here to Michigan State's campus. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, got to remind you all that it is Pledge Week here at WKAR. That's right. We have done you all a favor because we have listened to you out there and how you guys say, hey, we want to cut down those breaks. We want to hear more programming. So we have moved from an 8-day fall pledge to 4. And all you got to do, if you enjoy the programming and what we do here at WKAR and you want to donate and be a part of it and be a member of what we do here, join the family and dial 517-353-5000. Again, that's 517-353-5000. And hey, folks, this is pretty cool stuff. Wharton Center Broadway Series tickets are being given away by us right here at the station. If you give now, if you go to WKAR.org, or again, just call in at 517-353-5000, your name will be entered, but you got to do it before 7 p.m., to win some tickets to the Wharton Center Broadway Series. So, hey, the winner will actually be announced tomorrow between 9 and 10 a.m., but if you donate, you could put your name in the hat, all right? Again, that number is 517-353-5000. Also, folks, going to be a pretty cool day on WKAR's Current Sports tomorrow because something special is coming to this campus. This is now in its third year. Some of the nation's top sports reporters who just happen to be graduates of Michigan State University return to campus Friday for the annual Spartan Sports Journalism Classic. How cool is that? Right now in its third year, the all-day event will be held in various locations right here in the Communication Arts and Sciences Building at Michigan State University. The SSJC gives students who are interested in sports journalism careers an opportunity to hear and network with alumni who are working as professional journalists at leading sports media outlets. And everyone loves this man, right? Co-hosting this year is former MSU basketball star Steve Smith, a member of the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame, a former NBA All-Star, a U.S. Olympic gold medalist. Smith now works as an NBA TV analyst. Other participants include one of the voices of the Detroit Tigers, Mario Mpemba from Fox Sports Detroit. Of course, Kelly Tizer Schultz, director of media communications for the Ladies Professional Golf Association, and Becky Hudson, senior editor for ESPN. They all will be on campus tomorrow. Going to be a very cool event. I always say, man, you know, when this thing first started 3 years ago, I remember going to L.A. Dickerson and saying, I wish we had this when I was a student. Life would have been much easier when I walked across that stage and got my degree in journalism, okay, and trying to find a job. Very cool stuff, and the students are ecstatic about it. All right, folks, let's keep this train moving. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Now, as if this year's Michigan versus Michigan State football game didn't have enough excitement this past weekend, both schools actually went head-to-head for the first time in a unified flag football game. It was a part of the inaugural Special Olympics Unified Sports Rivalry Series, where 18 teams from rival schools and universities across the country competed and will compete in 9 intense play unified competitions promoting not only inclusion and respect, but also for a game day advantage. Now, the game took place last week, Friday, at Ralph Young Field on the campus of Michigan State University. Nearly 30 college students from Michigan State University and the University of Michigan teamed up with Special Olympics Michigan athletes from the Lansing and Ann Arbor areas to form unified teams representing each university. Here was my coverage from that night.
Yeah, so Special Olympics has done unified sports for a number of years. It really helps break down barriers and help form friendships that normally wouldn't happen. I mean, there aren't a lot of chances for people with intellectual disabilities in everyday life just to kind of run into each other. It's sports that really is that bridge that brings people together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Special Olympics was looking for a way to kind of get more publicity and let people know about, you know, a lot. Unified sports, and ESPN's been a big partner along with all these games as well. So what Special Olympics decided to do is they took a look at the college schedule. What are some of the biggest games this year? So they picked out 9 huge games, and Michigan State the first among those 9 games this year, and Michigan lucky enough to have the first game in the entire country.
Very, very cool stuff. And for you, Aaron, I mean, when talking about your involvement with this event, I mean, what's the goal here tonight? When people come to an event like this and leave the field, what do you want them to take away?
Yeah, when people come out to the event and they see the camaraderie, the friendship, and the athletic skill that our athletes are putting out on the field. You know, you come out to a game and you're cheering for your team. You've got that natural reason to cheer for people when you show up to a game. You get that whether you're cheering for Michigan or you're cheering for Michigan State. But the cool thing when you're out at this game is you see athletes out there and they're scoring touchdowns and they're giving each other high fives, even if they're wearing the blue or whether they're wearing the green out there.
Right. And that's very cool because, it's unified is the key word in this whole thing. But there's also some competitiveness to it because you're talking about Michigan and Michigan State at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, these athletes, they want to bring home, you know, the first. I mean, it's a big deal. It's the first ever rivalry series game, and they want to take these bragging rights with them back to Ann Arbor, or they want to keep them here in Lansing and bring them down with them to the game because the athletes all came out and they got their jerseys for this game, and they said, you know, if we win our game today, we're going to be wearing our jerseys to that Michigan State game in Ann Arbor.
Number 1, Nate Ruiz.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Number 88, Anna Blakesley. Yeah!
Michigan State started this club last year. Jessica Assos was the president. I was the advertising and marketing chair. And last year, we did a basketball league. It lasted through the winter. Huge success. Parents loved it. This is an organization that's free to athletes and whatnot, so it's really important to the parents because they have so many dues to pay anyway. This is something that's just so good to give to them. But so the basketball league really took off. We got to have our championship game, in the Breslin, which was amazing. D'Antonio came just to support. So this year, we decided to grow on that. We held the football league, which is happening right now. We were invited by Dan Ekinen to start this. They do a rivalry game at Alabama-Auburn, who actually started the SO rivalry, and they came to Michigan and said, we want to start it. Who better to start it with than MSU Michigan, I'm sorry.
Right.
So, here we are.
When looking at this event, when people walk away and think back to this date, I mean, what do you want people to take away from an event like this?
I want people to take away the fact that no disability should get in the way of any goal you want to achieve. Here we're surrounded by athletes that have been told they can't do this, they can't do that. They have to go through struggles that we can't even wrap our minds around. And here we are today playing each other a competitive collegiate game, winning medals, scoring touchdowns, and most importantly, having fun.
Why are philanthropic endeavors like this and nonprofits so close to your heart?
I just really have always loved the idea of helping ideas and people. There's so many messages and so many people that need to get their word out and just don't have the means of doing so. And I love being that person that helps them get their word out and helps get the attention and the awareness they need.
Now, even though this is a unified rivalry matchup, I mean, there's still a bit of, you know, that rivalry is certainly real.
That rivalry is definitely still there. So we have a Facebook page, and on that Facebook page, we made a very short, not that well done video, but all the athletes just wanted to get out there saying, we're taking the Wolverines down, because everyone knows, as much as we're all about inclusion and everyone working together, there's still that rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State. For me, the league we run, I don't play, I pretty much manage. So for me, it was fun to be on the field today and really get to experience. And I was the hiker, if that's the correct position name.
The center, right?
I was the center. So that was pretty exciting to start the plays all off. But honestly, it was just most fun to see everyone's happiness. When we scored the touchdown, we got the pass, we stopped to play. Everyone cheering and coming together and just the Go Greens, Go White from the stands of our parents that were here supporting us. Like, how could you beat that?
Good luck. We won big time. This our place.
Woo!
One, two, three.
One, two, three.
MSU!
unbelievably cool. I want to give a special thanks to Aaron Mills, who is the Senior Marketing and Communications Director for Special Olympics Michigan. You heard his voice first, followed by Anna Blakeslee, President of Special Olympics MSU. And if you want to know what the final result of that game was, Michigan State topped Michigan 28-26. I guess Michigan State just had a great weekend overall, okay? How about that? All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will talk about Brady Hoke and his comments concerning that last play. He says that there's no way he would have punted against the Spartans. Also, Jalen Rose on recruiting visits and Throwback Thursday for you. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I have an interesting stat for you guys. The stat of the day, courtesy of one of our PAs, Austin Goodman. Also, got to give a shout-out to Aaron Ashels, who is doing one fantastic job of manning our, or I should say, womaning our social media page. Is that even a term? Womaning? Can you say that?
You why could
do,
just
why say,
people say
manning? I always wondered that.
We could do general personing. Personing.
Is that a word?
No.
You know, I
doubt it. See, but we didn't think... What did Mark D'Antonio say yesterday that we didn't think was a word?
Bigness. Either? Mark D'Antonio said bigness in his press conference earlier this week, and I said, is that bigness? Is that a word?
That doesn't sound right.
I don't know if that's a word.
Hey, sure enough, Mark D'Antonio has been reading a little more than you and I.
Yeah, but I've always wondered, you know, people say manning the fort. Why can't you be womaning the fort?
Well,
does that make any sense?
When you put extra emphasis on the man part of woman too, it's I yeah. don't know, it makes it sound a little weird how you're saying it. No offense, but just womaning the fort I think sounds a little more natural than womaning the fort.
Yeah, well, maybe I said it wrong. Womaning the fort, that even sounds
that,
crazy.
That does sound we need to change these societal norms, Al. That's you and I's job.
That's what we try to do every single day,
breaking barriers on Current Sports.
There we go, right? But shout out to Aaron Asher, she's doing a great job of holding it down. I'm going to just say holding it down, okay? Our Current Sports Twitter page. Again, follow us at WKAR_sports. And Austin has a stat of the day for us coming from the NFL. Peyton Manning has the most interceptions he has thrown through six games since his 1998 rookie season. Peyton has thrown 10 interceptions this year if the Broncos are 6-0. Riddle me that, right? Peyton Manning is certainly over the years. And it's just old. He's just getting older. I mean, you know, you can clearly tell when watching Peyton Manning do his thing on the gridiron now that his arm is not what it used to be. No longer do you see Peyton Manning throwing bombs for 60, 70-yard TDs. That's just not what he does now. And for the most part, you know, right now the Broncos have been carried by their outstanding defense, which is arguably the best defense in the league. They are fantastic. DeMarcus Ware, you know, those guys are unbelievable. Unbelievable. So right now, I think Peyton Manning is pretty lucky that his Denver Broncos are at 6-0, but he is still pretty still good. I mean, he's one of my fans. And this is the thing. I'm kind of frustrated because I have him on my fantasy football team, Isaac, and every week is a challenge because I sit there and look at my roster and I say, hey, Peyton Manning, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. How can I not start him? And I got Jameis Winston sitting on the bench. I'm like, why would I start Jameis Winston over Peyton Manning? There's no
comparison.
Why do
you have Jameis Winston sitting on the bench? Drop that, dude.
Yeah, I'm about to. That's exactly what I'm about to do. But at the same time, I sit there, you know, debating. And there have been weeks where Jameis Winston has gotten more fantasy points than Peyton Manning, though.
There have been.
And I'm sitting there like, I'm like conflicted right now. That's why I don't want to give him up. I'm like, should I start him? Because I don't know what Peyton Manning is going to do. But he came through big for me last week. I will say that. Even though, and Austin's saying, no, don't do it. But even though Peyton Manning has been having a tough year, it's hard to argue with an undefeated record. It's kind of like the MSU football discussion. Even though MSU football hasn't lived up to par when it comes to certain games, they've opened the door for teams late in games. At the same time, it's hard to argue with any team that does not have a blemish in that loss column.
Yeah, well, Peyton Manning, his rookie year, when I heard that stat, my mind immediately went to the Colts record. 3-13 his rookie year.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of it's just contextual depending on who's around him. Like you said, that Colts defense consists of, you've got all sorts of different players. You've got Von Miller. You've got
right.
DeMarcus Ware. You've got Ronnie Hillman at running back, who's pretty good.
And the receiving cast, I think the defense has outscored the offense this season.
Oh, the defense is outstanding for Denver. So, therefore, you know, it's all contextual. Because when you go to the worst team in the NFL, no matter what, you're going to have a few struggles, no matter how good of a player you are.
Very, 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 very true. I agree. Phone lines are open, as you just hear. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Keeping this train moving. Hey, folks, it's Thursday. Can you guess what's coming next? Go ahead, just guess. Just yell it right now if you're in your car, if you're in your backyard. Yep, you know what's coming. Throwback Thursday, that's right. Well, we take a look at what has occurred in sports history on this particular Thursday. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks. It is now time for Throwback Thursday. And you know what? Not a lot happened on this particular date in sports. And before I dive into the events that did happen on this date, I got to shout out one of my favorite movies of my childhood growing up. And we forgot to mention it yesterday. I was so upset with myself when I got off the mic. But Back to the Future, the anniversary of Back to the Future was yesterday. If you remember, in the very first Back to the Future, Doc. And what's his name? Michael J. Fox's character?
I'll be honest.
Don't tell me.
I've never watched Back to the Future in its entirety.
You're kidding.
I know of the DeLorean. I know of references, but no, I haven't watched it in its entirety.
You're joking, right? I'm being punked right now.
100% serious.
Wow.
It doesn't appeal to me, too.
Oh, my goodness. That is one of the greatest movies ever made, I think.
Okay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
It is.
It's
one of the funnest movies ever, dude. Michael J. Fox. You got Christopher Lloyd. I won't even go there. But anyway, in the first Back to the Future, they decided to turn the clock up to October 21st, 2015. How eerie is that, right? Can you believe we just passed that? And it's so cool because you watch the movie and they have like hoverboards, they got flying cars. Look, October 21st, 2015 is nothing like Back to the Future, even though I wish it was. Very cool stuff, but the anniversary was off the chain. You saw many people, even at the World Series last night, they talked about it. I saw Conan O'Brien on his late show. They had a nice little bit on it. I believe it was Toyota. They released a 5-minute commercial commemorating that moment. One of the greatest movies of all time that Isaac has never seen, Back to the Future. Shout out to him, man. That was a really, really, really cool moment.
Yeah, it was one of my friend's birthdays yesterday back home. Anna Jarantano, shout out to her. And she posted the date saying, you know, now it's the future, something like that. But showed the date that was in the Back to the Future DeLorean. And then it showed the date of today. Just so, see, I get the references. I've basically seen it now.
You need to, no, stop it. No, you haven't seen it till you've seen it, Isaac. Just do me a favor. Watch it over the weekend, all right? And get back to me. Please do that. Well, let's get to our Throwback Thursday here. In 1939, the first televised pro football game was telecast from New York. Brooklyn defeated Philadelphia 23-14. In 1950, the L.A. Rams, they set an NFL record by defeating the Baltimore Colts 70-27. It was a record score for a regular season game, 70-27. Where in the world was the defense there? In 2000, Corey Dillon
of the Cincinnati Bengals ran for 278 yards against the Denver Broncos. Corey Dillon, oh my goodness. And last but not least, 2011, Albert Pujols of the St. Louis Cardinals. He became the third player to hit three home runs in a World Series game. That wraps up your Throwback Thursday. If you think I missed something, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we get to Ray, who's on the line, hold on, Ray. Give me one sec, because I want to preface your call with this. Brady Hoke. Yeah, you guys know Brady Hoke, right? Former head coach of the University of Michigan football team. Brady Hoke is now, he's a man behind the mic right now. He has his own radio show that is on Sirius XM College Radio. And I get it. I get it, because Brady is now one of us. He has to crack open a mic every single day and talk sports, talk college football. So, of course, everyone was on pins and needles waiting on what Brady had to say concerning the Michigan State and Michigan game this past Saturday. Here's what he had to say. Quote, personally, if we have the number one defense in the nation, I'm going to test those guys. You've got to play to the strength of your football team, and the strength of the Michigan football team all year long has been their defense. And he then went on to say, I know it's easy from where we sit right now. I've been on the sideline and had to make decisions. I went for two against Ohio State 2 years ago because Devin Gardner has a broken foot and blah, blah, blah. I didn't think the defense played as well as needed. And he went on to say from there that, yeah, I would not have punted on fourth down against Michigan State. And those comments have been broadcasted from here to Pluto. Everyone's talking about Brady Hoke and how he just looks like an idiot right now, and why is he even weighing in on that discussion, seeing as though he got fired and did a terrible job as the head coach of U of M. What do you think about Brady's comments? 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We have Ray from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, can you read the future 45? Will those people, arrogant people, ever humble themselves down there?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Michigan, huh?
Oh, yeah. Brady Hoke, Lloyd Carr. It doesn't matter what coach says. You should have heard Brandstetter say, we're going to beat this team by a touchdown or two. Yeah. You know, Brandstetter, you know, the guy at the barbershop, they had a thing on Big Ten Network talking about before the game, you know, how, oh, we're going to win by at least a touchdown. They're all arrogant down there. When are they ever going to humble themselves?
But I will say this, Ray. There are some very – and we made a point to mention this on yesterday's show as well. There are some very logical Michigan fans out there and very educated ones out there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not trying to take it out of context. There's only the people at the top where I have a problem. It ain't the okay. – It ain't the fans and the players. I don't. But it's a long story, and you know my story.
Well, what do you think about Brady's comments, Ray? I mean, you know, Brady Hoke. This is a guy.
It's easy to say after the fact.
Exactly.
I mean, it really is. I mean, you should be able to get a punt off. The kid. I feel bad for him. He panicked. You know, he's an Australian kicker to start with.
Right.
And their thing is to still kick the ball regardless. You know. That's what he was thinking at the time. How would you know that the ball's – come on, that's a miracle play. It's going to bounce right to the Michigan State guy.
Exactly.
And he
right.
could have been tackled on the 10. If the guy don't make a good block and he don't cut in, he only gets in by a yard.
Right. It was
ain't like he got in 8 or 10 yards in the end zone. He was only a yard – I mean, a yard less than that, there would have been quite a dispute about it.
Yeah, it was one of those plays – that no one's expecting. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. That
a miracle.
Does not happen.
Your coach and your quarterback were right when they said a higher power won that game.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
God was with them on that game.
I'm telling you. And, you know, it's so you know, interesting. Because everyone was harping on Blake O'Neal after the game. You know, we talked about how he had death threats coming via social media. And I watched, and I mentioned this yesterday as well, I watched the interview with Blake O'Neal as he addressed the media, and he seems like he's just not even fazed. Like he's taking it all in stride. I mean, he's taking it very, very well.
Didn't that
from
guy
what I
have
saw.
An 80-yard punt? He played great all day. They did your special teams by 100 yards. The only reason you won the game is you outgained them by 100 yards on the ground and passing.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's going to be one of those
those moments that you look back and again, Jim Harbaugh is going to be harping on the good because I thought that Michigan played well. They played well, and I think and Jim Harbaugh made he made a comment this week saying that there's no other punter in the nation that I would want right now than Blake O'Neal. So he's sticking with his guy, and I really liked his comments.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Check the schedule. Do they play? They're off this week, a bye week. Don't they play at Minnesota and at Penn State the next 2 weeks?
They do. They are at Minnesota, and then they're at they play Rutgers at home.
Oh, okay. And then they play Penn State.
Then they play at Indiana on November 14th, and then at Penn State on November 21st.
Oh, okay. And then they got the big game with Ohio State.
Yep. To end the season.
Talking a lot of scenarios about a 3-way tie right now. And if it happened, Michigan State loses to Ohio State, Michigan beats Ohio State.
Right.
The first breaker is the rankings, and if they're only one place apiece, you guys would probably go to the championship game because you beat Michigan head to head.
And right? Then it gets really interesting because I really think that Iowa can finish out the year undefeated. And if Michigan State was to play Iowa, and let's just say hypothetically, if Iowa was to win that game. I'm very iffy on whether or not the selection committee, right. would choose Iowa to play in the college football right. playoff.
I agree with that. Other comment I had, Tiger Woods, he had another back surgery again, I heard.
I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear. When'd you see that, Ray?
They were talking about it a week or two ago here on the thing that he had back surgery and he's hoping to get back sometime in 2016. I was just wondering if he's going to be able to get back for the Masters because – that's his second back surgery. What gets me about Tiger? He kind of fibs. He always says he's all right, and then when the season's over, when he does bad, he says, well, my back was killing me all year. Well, why do you tell the press all the time you're doing great,
Yeah, he's just trying to harp on anything positive that could come out of a round. And I see right here, this is from CBS Sports, that Tiger Woods implies he might not play during the 2015-16 PGA Tour season because of what you just alluded to, that back surgery. That's unfortunate stuff, man.
The whole year?
He implied. It's not set in stone. He said rehab will be soon and will be tedious and long. So who knows? Right now, nothing set in stone, but he did imply that he's going to miss a majority, a big chunk of that year.
Bubba Watson's a Christian, man. I'm hoping someday Tiger, mom and dad brought him up as a Buddhist. I hope somebody gets him and tells him about Jesus someday. Maybe I can start rooting for him. I don't like the way he slams his club down and uses God's name in vain.
He's been making strides to changing his persona, slowly but surely.
Yes, I agree with you. I thought he was a lot better this year than he was other years. There's a lot of kids watching him, so I hope.
True.
And I know it's hard because I played golf for 30, 40 years. I quit when I retired and started serving the Lord more. But
I hear you.
It's hard. It's hard to keep your cool a lot of times too.
It is tough. Ray, always a great call. Appreciate
Thanks,
it, my
buddy.
Man.
God bless you.
All right, dude. All right, well, wow. Whoa. Wowie zowie. 1 minute left in the show. Can you believe that? Time flies when you're having fun. And we have certainly had a lot of fun here on WKR's Current Sports. Got to remind you all that, hey, it is Pledge Week. Again, we have cut our campaign, our October campaign, from 8 to 4 days. That means we need to work together to raise the usual amount of money in half the time. Together, we can do this. If you want to donate right here to our stations and become a member of WKAR, phone lines are open, folks, 517-353-5000, or you can go and give now at WKAR.org. If you do it before 7 p.m., your name will be entered with a chance for you to win tickets to the Wharton Center Broadway series. It's a very cool event, very cool stuff. So do that right now, folks. We're out of time. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.